Hi, Tad Chalmers here. You may know me from such podcasts as Roundabout, where I play that nebbish, lovable scamp, Craig Cole. But you know, podcasts aren't all fun and games. Some of our hosts haven't tasted clean water since episode one. Hope isn't lost, though. You can help. Go to roundaboutshow.com and take our quick survey to tell advertisers you care. It's too late for Zach Bowman, but with your help, he might just be the last.
From Chi-Town, Illinois, I'm Colin Bird.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios, I'm Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode 23, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a game of Mario Kart, we race around the internet in search of victory and a cohesive Zen-like theme. During the competition, we'll knock Yoshi off the track with a salvo of green shells. We'll dodge random banana peels dropped by Donkey Kong, and hopefully we'll avoid getting zapped by a lightning bolt from Petey Piranha, who's bringing up the rear. Along the way, Wario will perpetuate anti-Semitic stereotypes, Waluigi will try his hardest to get Peach and Daisy to make out, and Bowser will offer Toad handfuls of prescription pills and a box cutter to cheer him up. Hey, even if we don't finish first, we'll at least have some interesting stories to talk about. And that's right, this is episode 23 of Roundabout, and it's the first episode after our big Mario Kart tournament that we had. And wasn't that a lot of fun, guys?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Something we'll have to do again in the future. You know, Ben and I had talked about doing that regularly, and I think could be a fun little thing to broadcast even, especially if we can get some more people on there. But the big news this week for episode 23 is not about Mario Kart. It's about the fact that nobody is here. We're quite on a skeleton crew this week. Zach is traveling. He went out west to California. He's at, what is it, Michelle? The Queen of the Anvils race or something? A hybrid competition, I thought it was. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar. It's the King of the Hammers road crawling event.
Oh.
Where they, yeah, oh. They...
So I was, okay, well, Eric is gone too. He's out shooting video of the Detroit Pistons or something like that. I don't know. He's busy.
I think he's manning a booth at a conference.
Really?
Okay. Just saying.
All right.
I think it's like a kissing booth or something.
I'll Ooh. Take your word for that. Jeffrey Ross is also out. Isn't he getting married or something about his wedding?
I think his wife's pregnant.
Having?
Okay. Oh, my God. He's not even married.
You don't have to be married these days to get pregnant.
You can live alternative lifestyles, Michelle. You don't have
God,
to be.
God, so old school.
So old fashioned, I know. So judgmental, too. But, yes.
Zach, we don't look down upon you for that. Zach, I mean Jeff. Jeff. One of them's pregnant and barefoot.
One of those guys that aren't here, you know. Okay, so a bunch of people aren't here. They're no shows. Fine. But we do have... Michelle Joey Naranjo here, who is a star of the show, a starlet, if you will. We're always happy to have you on the program, Michelle, and we're glad that you can make it. And I hope you're glad to be here.
So happy.
So pissed off right now. I don't know why I put myself through this every week. All right. But because we're so short on staff, we brought in an outsider, and we welcome him to our fold here. We welcome him to Roundabout. We've got Colin Bird on. Hello, Colin. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. And
good,
thank
good,
you.
Good.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks, Ben.
We're glad you could make it. You're a very loyal fan, I've heard, apparently. I don't know how that's possible. You even
every
wanted
episode.
To come on. So I... Okay.
Even the one
great.
Where you guys only talked about guns.
Guns and catheters. But you're doing the Twitter thing, you're auto_bird on Twitter?
Yeah, auto_bird, and I started up a blog, the Auto Bird blog.
Okay.
Right. And
you also have a podcast too, what, Auto Bird Podcast?
Yes, it doesn't. I just want to say it doesn't compete at all. It's, yeah, completely non-competitive, but yes, automotive in a different way.
Okay. But it's non-competitive, yet it's still a podcast, right?
That's why we have him on, because he's not competing with us. Yeah. But it's good.
Well, you're covering legitimate news, not just catheters and guns.
Catheters and guns, yeah.
And who do you do that podcast with?
Oh, that's,
I think it's someone people might know on
another
Twitter.
Another chap on Twitter.
Yeah, the very talented Joel Fetter. It's Joel Fetter is his Twitter.
Okay. Of Buick fame. That's how I know him. He was on Autoline After Hours.
Yeah, I got on. Yeah, exactly.
Who knew?
I have a question, Colin. Why did you design the logo for the show where Joel has on a Kermit the Frog outfit?
Is he French?
I tried to choose something that, like, as a joke that he would say, no, 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 you know, you can't do that. And then I would just put his head on something else. But then he was just like, oh, I love it. So that's how it stopped.
But yeah, you did pretty well at Mario Kart. You you beat Toad, that's for sure. Whoever was playing as him, I don't remember exactly, but
some chump.
Yeah, he was a loser. He came in last.
Which is funny because, like, I don't actually play video games a lot, and mm-hmm. I didn't want you guys to think I was a dork by winning so much. I don't know why that was.
I don't play video games. Just, you know, 6 or 8 hours a day. That's all. Not that often.
You guys, I want you to give me props though. I tried. I couldn't buy the game, and I still. I went and I rented it.
Michelle, you were so dedicated. You were there for like a half hour, not even playing, just listening.
I was
that
there for an
dedication.
Hour and a half, not playing. And when my rental copy from Blockbuster was scratched, I tried some Meguiar's compound to buff it out.
Very automotive themed.
Very appropriate,
yes.
Too. And that didn't work for you?
You know, I guess not.
That's too bad. But yes. That is dedication, Michelle, that you came on the talk-in line to talk with us, and you weren't even playing the game. That yeah. says something.
You're like our den mom. You brought us pizza and stuff and helped us make, like, little fuzzy guys with magnets on the back to put on the fridge.
When we couldn't get our fruit snacks open, you were right there to pull them open for us. But anyway.
Is there a show here?
Before we drive off into the ditch, and crash and burn, we might as well get to the theme, which Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so we figured we'd do like a love-hate theme this week. Good idea, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, and sure. You know, didn't you think of that, Colin? Because
I don't
want to
take all the credit, but yes.
No, he did. He did.
All right, well... In any event, love-hate is the theme this week. And the first story we've got, Colin, you were the one that I believe tagged this one. It's about Chevrolet, or more yeah. specifically General Motors, and what some of their vehicles are that are popular with young buyers. What do the young buyers love at GM?
Well, surely it's an Aveo, right?
Yeah. Or you figure it'd be Pontiac or something cheap.
Fiesta.
What? Wrong GM, Michelle.
That's the other
GM. Sorry.
That's the
I thought you were talking about just the kids. I thought you were talking about the kids. Oh, that vibe thing.
With the sticky gas pedal?
Yeah.
Or the Chevy Edge HR, you know. No, but, well, yeah, this story comes from Mike Levine from Pickup Trucks, and I guess he talked to Mark Clausen at Chevrolet Divisioning Marketing Manager. That's what they say here. And apparently the youngest car shoppers for GM, they buy the Chevy Suburban. And they're also the most affluent buyers outside of Cadillac.
Now, what is the average age of those buyers? Because, I mean, I'm 25. I'm fairly young. I would not go out and buy a Suburban. That's like one of the last vehicles I'd want.
I mean, they're 48 years old. They say the...
okay. Well, that explains
it. Oh, those youngsters.
Yeah, those whippersnappers. They're trading in their Scion XBs and... moving into the Suburban. Yeah. Wouldn't a LaCrosse be more appropriate for people of that age? I mean, good Lord, they got one foot in the grave.
Dad, what say you?
Oh, but that's their youngest buyer. 48?
That's what they're saying. Well, okay. I mean, this is worded sort of weird. They say it's the youngest. Yeah, they make it sound like it's the youngest buyer at GM. I thought Pontiac had the youngest buyers for them, but not obviously not anymore.
Now that they're deceased. Yes. The brand, not the customer. But
a little bit of both.
Yeah. So that's surprising that their youngest buyer goes for a Suburban and that their youngest buyer is 48 years old on average.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would you know, take a Tahoe if somebody gave it to me.
Oh, yeah. No knock against them, but they're just huge vehicles that have a lot more space than I need. And I wouldn't expect, young people to buy those, but I guess 48 isn't that young. What do you think
average,
about 48 being... 48 is so old, isn't it, Michelle?
Ha! It is so old. One of my older friends who has three kids...
Is she 43?
No, she's actually about 47. She has three kids that are all teenagers right now, and she's a diehard Ford fan, and she was looking at getting a Suburban, and she decided not to, and they have a crew cab 250 instead, mm-hmm. because their whole thing is they have to drag three teenagers around to soccer and
so get the biggest vehicle you possibly can, right?
Yeah, the kids play cello and violin, and they go to summer camp and all that stuff. So, I would imagine the only problem really with a pickup that size is that inclement weather, everything's getting wet, right? So mm-hmm. the Suburban kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And people that are 48 typically have kids that are probably, teenage age, so that they're going to be in high school or be participating in sports. So that extra room, enclosed room, would be good. But moving along, the next story, GM's youngest buyers like the Suburban, but our next story also has to do with love, and that's because if you love to eat, there's a study that recently came out. We found the story on Autoblog, but it comes from AnnArbor.com. I guess that's the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And basically, the University of Michigan did a study, and they found that men who are overweight, which is probably most of them now in the United States,
back off,
they have a 22% lower chance of being killed in a fatal car crash than men who are underweight. So that's a pretty significant number, 22%. But the study goes on to say, that the opposite is true. If those husky guys are not buckled in, they're 10% more likely to be killed if not strapped into the car. So, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think, Michelle? You've got this belt of armor plating around you that's going to protect you. I mean, I'm made out of paper mache. You could impale me with a juice box straw.
I have a what around me?
This belt of armor plating.
Are you saying I'm...
No, I'm saying this is for... Were you not listening, Michelle? Men who are overweight.
Yes. No, the funny thing about this is it falls under that that stereotype of overweight people being like moving more slothily, right? Like,
well,
is slothily even a
word?
Slowly. So do they drive more slowly then? I mean, that would be sort of the more interesting
statistic.
I would
think they drive faster because their leg is heavier. Push down.
Their toes weigh more?
Yep, their toes weigh more. They're
Craig,
just gonna mash
they're overweight.
Them.
They don't have elephantitis.
I don't know this. Sorry. Gosh. I'm 136 pounds of muscle. But, 22% less likely to be killed. But this wording is bizarre to me. I'm quoting the article here. The U of M Transportation Research Institute study found men who were overweight had a 22% lower chance of being killed in a fatal crash than men who were underweight. Aren't all fatal crashes don't people die in all fatal crashes?
Yes, that's what fatal means.
Sounds like they didn't have the editor.
Don't
want to
pick nits, but
I mean, yeah, that's kind of contradictory there. But yeah, so I guess if you love to eat, and who doesn't love to eat? Except maybe me. No.
I guess this makes sense because it's the pretensioner right on the belt. it'll get caught quicker if you're fat around your belly, but if you're not wearing the belts.
Well, plus if you hit something hard, your organs are padded, I guess. Your innards don't get jiggled around as much.
But maybe you guys can help me out. Why do you think it is that they're more likely to be killed if they're unbuckled, if you're fat?
There's more mass moving.
Yeah, physics.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, maybe that's it. I'm just trying to glean that.
Oh, God. Down below it says, female drivers are 1.1 times more likely than male drivers to die in a fatal crash. In a fatal crash. Hmm. So women are more likely to die in a crash where somebody dies.
Now you know what to get AnnArbor.com for Christmas. AP style book.
Exactly, exactly.
I was reading somewhere that's like 70% of all women or something in America are overweight now. So, yeah, sorry.
You're going to get slapped now by somebody just on the street. They're going to bitch slap you.
Your mom's fat. That's what somebody just said to me.
So is that why men buy their wives Toyotas and Lexuses?
The seats are flat and very soft, so there's lots of room to spill over the edges, probably. For those saddlebags to hang down, right? Okay.
So a reason to love being fat.
Yes, and love to eat. So if you want to protect yourself, eat more. Go to the Chinese buffet and fill up on food until you can't move or can't breathe. That's my advice. Craig Cole's roundabout eating advice right there.
Just make sure they buckle you into the Hummer when they pile you in there.
And make sure you don't go under the sneeze guard. That's a major buffet faux pas. Right, Michelle?
Absolutely. That you could hurt the back of your head when you come back up.
Yes, you could. Well, speaking of faux pas, I don't know how this is at all a transition, but hey, Michelle, tell us about this Ferrari. What happened to this guy?
Well, this guy could very well be a friend of the Veyron guy in Texas that went into the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he decided to take his Ferrari up some road, Canada Road. So I'm assuming he's in Detroit. Is that a road around there?
Canada Road.
I don't even know.
Sounds like it's in Canada, but...
That's just my instant reaction.
That's just my instincts, I think. They're telling
well,
me
he decides to take it drifting. And so he's, you know, popping the clutch and, you know, pulling the handbrake and all of that stuff. And he goes through a tunnel.
Well, why did he go through the tunnel? What, didn't security catch him or something in the parking lot?
Well, yeah, he basically ran away from the guy.
Okay, so I mean, he's a Ferrari driver. He clearly loves life. He has a zest for living. So he's out doing burnouts and donuts. And then security sees him and he takes off.
Yeah. Okay. that's why he went through a tunnel. I think he would have gone through the tunnel anyway. But he takes off on this drive and he's still doing his thing. And he starts losing control of the car. Okay. And he heads into a flat spin.
That's not dangerous at all.
No, they actually use the word stank, and I've actually never heard that word before. Is that wrong?
The car is stank.
Is stank? What does that mean?
It used to stink.
Is that a new?
Is it street talk for?
Yeah.
Odor.
I guess he burned broken? It up. I guess because. In the end, he had to spend $3,000 on new rotors.
What, because he left the parking brake on, basically?
Yes.
Stank must mean dumbass. I'm just guessing here. Ferraris are expensive, yes. But $3,000 for new rotors? Ouch. That hurts. And so, what about jeans? What?
Oh, yeah. I think the joke in the article was basically that he was going to have to spend $3,000 in rotors, a new pair of True Religion jeans, and, you know, because, of course, the guy probably had on douche jeans.
those ripped up ones or whatever?
No, the ones that cost like $300 a pair.
Like yours, Craig.
Oh, I know. I have. I don't buy any jeans unless they're at least $150. I mean, I have to look good.
Well, my pants are.
I'm glad you've noticed, Michelle. So $3,000 worth of rotors because he left the parking brake on.
Fan Mud Monster, as Colin was just pointing out, gave us the definition of stank, and apparently
the courtesy of Urban Dictionary,
the quality of being whorish and or trashy, or the appearance of being said quality, any instance where the aforementioned quality is displayed in the nth degree, a ghetto fabulous greeting of sorts used by intellectually and creatively impaired, or having the attitude that is particularly not cared for by the gene. So I can't call him a stank because they meant gender.
Yeah. Oh. Hmm. Well, now you know. Doon, 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 doon.
Wow. That was a great...
Thanks for that sound effect. You're spot on, Ben.
So how's the car stink, though? I don't get it.
It has...
He probably soiled the seat, you know? Colostomy bag broke. Because he says he stopped 2 feet from the
Is
wall.
Is that why he needs new jeans?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm thinking it means trashed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, well, that's one douchebag, and I think we can move on to the next douchebag. Michelle, you found this video, and I was laughing when I saw it because the kids... something bad went wrong. First of all, I love to see things fail and stuff break, especially catastrophically. And what we've got in the next story here is a video of some kid. He's got a Dodge Neon. Well, I'll ask Michelle really quick, 30 seconds. How did you find this video?
Probably one of my 8 billion Twitter followers.
8 billion. Fulfillion. So, okay. Sounds like it's going now. Kid pulls his Neon forward. Looks like he's pulling it on the stream. Looks like the road's going to hose it down. Starts doing the burnout. Smoking the tires. Yada, yada. And something bad happened. Something... really bad. Now, if you're watching the live video, which you'll be able to watch on roundaboutshow.com, we'll have the link in the show notes. His passenger side front window is already busted out and covered with a garbage bag. That's not what I'm talking about. He was doing the burnout, and I'm going to assume...
Well, and his wheels mismatch, so well, that's hot, too. Yeah.
Yes. The wheel cover fell off the back one, Ben. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to assume that the driver's side wheel was spinning that whole time, okay? Because the passenger side one never moved. But something happened under the hood, and something blew up, and something shot up from the engine, dented the hood up at least what looks like a foot. Ben's going to replay that here. It looks like it pushed the hood up a foot, and shrapnel came shooting out of the hood. So, I mean, this is just... I have never seen a failure like this.
What do you think it was?
I'm guessing it's, like, turbo-related.
Yeah.
Because it looks like an SRT4, and it makes sense that the turbo's at the back of the engine, you know? And maybe it exploded. But, I mean, do you have any guesses, Colin?
I was going to jokingly say it was a manifold, but that'd be a little... more PSI than possible.
See, I kind of... Mud Monster's mentioning on chat right now that he thinks it looks fake, and I have to say, when I saw it, I thought it looked fake, and I wanted to see what you guys would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought this. He did this on purpose. It seemed purposeful.
Because the car looks kind of trashed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right, because the trunk lid kind of is not closed. Mm-hmm. Either did he forget to close it, or is it, like, broken? But, yeah, that's true. The car is a little hit up.
So he was just aiming for viral video fame.
Cut him off then, Ben. We don't want to give him any more views.
No more.
We're done here.
We're not putting that in the show notes now.
Feeding the beast.
Because I've never seen an engine like fail like that and then blow shit through the hood. I mean, something pipe bomb-esque went off under there. I don't know. I do not know.
What do you know, Craig?
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't, Michelle.
So how is this love hate?
I knew you were going to ask that, Ben.
I think the guy hated his car. I think he trashed his car so much that they decided to, he decided to just
put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this guy may have hated his car, but our next video, it's another video, these people seem to love it, and it involves an old Jeep Cherokee. Michelle, you also found this one, and you were very taken by it, weren't you?
I love it. I think it's brilliant. I mean, I don't know the background behind it, and this group, honestly, I would say, unlike the last guy who we should cut off from getting too many hits, I think they deserve their hits. They worked really hard on this video audio performance around this whole car and the electronic sounds and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember that sound of when the electrics were kind of going on my dad's Wagoneer, and it would go, yee, and it would make that cool sound. So, mm-hmm.
So what is it exactly they're doing in this video?
They're making a music video or a song, you could say, with all of the different sound effects that the car makes. So they've got people opening and closing the doors. They've got another person operating the power seat and the windows. They start the car at one point. It's just a whole symphony of music from this one car.
It's performance art.
It is. So they've got what? It looks like 6 or 7 people around this car. Looks like 6 of them are doing things to the car. You know, opening the doors, tapping on the metal. Another guy is like working a sound mixer. And they've got a bunch of microphones positioned around the car. And they're just doing their stuff and making what actually is pretty cool music out of it. Got the door buzzer going.
What sounds can you detect? Door buzzer?
Yeah.
It sounds like an air compressor, like a small air compressor, that rattling sound.
They got the power locks going there.
Yeah.
Who knew a Jeep Cherokee could be so musical?
So what this made me think was, what sounds do you guys love about your cars? What are those little, like, clickety-clackety sounds that if anyone else got in the car would be weird, but you've grown to love or you miss if you go to another car?
Well, for me, I don't want to hear extraneous noises, rattles, or creaks. And luckily, my car is really pretty solid. It's got 120,000 miles on it, and I'm lucky that nothing's rattling or falling off or busted on it. So I'm pretty happy about that. But I do like the sound it makes, right? Michelle, you heard we had a Skype meeting the other night, and I called in on my cell phone on my drive in and heard that throaty horsepower.
It purrs to Craig.
Well, what does it do to you, Michelle? Well, how would you describe that sound? That's
No, it sounded really good on the phone. I have to say, if you ever happen to call a girl on the phone, I think that she might be impressed by the sound of your car.
I bet that's 2 liters of terror right there. And Brad Merle in the chat says when the check engine light comes on, he just covers it up with some black duct tape. So that's what he loves about his car. What about you, Michelle? You've got that lovely, what is it, an 05 Mustang?
The car actually that I love the sound on is my Z3. And it's so pre-2000 forward BMW that it has these very kind of mechanical, ordinary sounds that are kind of retro to me. So like the hazards sound really kind of cool to me, but it's funny because it does have that weird thing where the hazard is on the console in the center. So when I'm driving down the road, if I in the summertime and it's hot and it's humid, if I have my Diet Coke sitting on the console, because of course my Diet Coke doesn't fit in the BMW cup holders because they're made for like these little bitty teeny tiny cups.
Well, they drink espresso over in Europe, don't they? I heard they drink espresso.
the condensation will actually get in my hazard signal and turn my hazards on I'm driving.
The Germans, no. You are not supposed to be doing other things when you are driving. Only driving. Not drinking. Well, not drinking and driving, definitely not. But not drinking your morning latte. And not putting on makeup or texting. You get on the Autobahn and you drive.
Right.
Yeah. So that you like that sort of rawness about the Z4 then, huh? Just sort of retro.
Yeah, it's very analog.
Cars don't make the same kind of noises they used to. You know? They used to, my old S10, yeah, when you would, it had like a lever for the air, and when you would move it down, you would just hear this as something happened. I don't know what that is. Craig, you probably know what was going on there.
For the air conditioning?
I don't know.
I know what the Z3 does that a bit. It goes after I park it in the garage.
It has a turtle dove in the dashboard?
No, it just kind of does this little whistle, and it's almost... I had a Citroen Estate wagon when I lived in the UK that had the I don't know what it did, but it like for some reason would raise up when I'd start the car. Right, it was very strange, and it kind of makes that sound like it's releasing air.
It's probably sort of a Darth Vader-ish noise.
it could be the vent controls. It could be motorized that open and close.
Yeah, I was going to say they're probably vacuum operated. You know, they've got, I think, what is it? It's called a dash pod, I think. It runs off engine vacuum and moves stuff that needs moving.
My dad in the chat room misses the old-fashioned sound of blinkers.
Oh, is that where they used to go, like, tink, 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 tink?
Yeah.
A little bell inside there or something?
Mm-hmm.
Aw, mine do that, Dad.
Aw. And Luke says his clicks on one side faster than the other because he won't change the bulb. He's too lazy. That's funny. What about you, Colin? What do you drive, first of all,
Okay. So I drive a 06 Hyundai Accent.
No
judgment here.
No, none whatsoever. We're all tee-heeing behind your back.
And our mic's on mute when we do that.
I think in like the second year I had it, a squirrel made a nest in it, and ate some of the wiring and such. I think the dealer made this up.
You know, in Kazakhstan, that's a blessing. You know, that's a sign of good luck.
Well, there you go.
When and large rodents.
I forget what the device is called. You know, the thing that tells the automatic transmission how fast the car is going to shift gears.
So, you got an automatic?
It's a Hyundai Accent. I mean, what am I going to do?
Doubly sorry, Colin. Sorry, I'm sorry. Keep going. I apologize.
So anyway, nowadays, like they, you know, the dealer supposedly fixed it, but when you press really hard down on the throttle, goes to like 5 or 6,000 RPM, something it's not supposed to go down to. So I like that noise. It sounds incredibly jarring and bad for the vehicle. So,
but you do it anyway.
I do it anyway
because it's cool.
Yeah, I don't go any faster at all. So I think it goes slower. No, I was gonna say. Have you guys been in any recent like Ford products and the chime it makes when you open the door now?
Oh, doo 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 doo. Something like Atari.
Yeah, I didn't even know that you could make noises like that. I thought that was sort of regulated.
I like that sound it makes because it's distinctive. Nobody else sounds like that. But I also dislike it because it's so like 8-bit Nintendo.
Yeah.
Sounding. It's like I can't tell if it's nice or if it's chintzy. I'm undecided yet.
You know what the Mustang does do that I hate is, I mean, this is California where you can be on a freeway with, you know, an entrance ramp, an exit ramp, and you're going across 6 lanes to get to a carpool lane.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the blinker on and you're trying to move across, after you go, I don't know if it's by the amount of time or the amount of feet that you're actually traveling, it'll start making this alarm sound to remind you that your blinker is on. It's kind of pathetic.
Well, you know.
I think my car will do that. I think it'll like, bong, bong, bong,
it's
bong.
Like, hey, yes. You're retarded. Turn your turn signal off.
Yeah, which I immediately always check my seatbelt.
Yeah, do any of you guys have ones where you can't, like, not drive the car now without your seatbelt on?
No.
Hmm.
No. My Hyundai Accent. I mean, chiming wise, it just it'll chime forever. It won't stop.
Well, that gets you a higher safety rating, right?
I don't know.
I think that's what Mr. McElroy told me.
That really?
If you have a more annoying chime,
you get five stars instead of four.
One. Yeah. I mean, it can be the difference.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
That's my understanding.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. So that's
noises in cars.
Yeah, that's great. Good idea coming up with that, Ben. I like that.
Mm. Pretty smart.
I know. You're just a factory of good ideas. No response. Anyway.
No, I agree.
Freshly minted good ideas. You hear that? But, all right, let's take a break. Talk about our website, roundaboutshow.com. Couple things going on there. First of all, we're working on a new segment we want to start, and that's giving out car buying advice to people. So if you know anybody that's looking to buy a new or a used car, send them in touch with us. Send them to roundaboutshow.com. We've got a form there you can fill out and get in touch with Ben. And we'd love to interview you and give you some of our advice. We've got a panel of all-star experts with, 150 years plus of knowing things about cars and stuff. So, I mean, we are authoritative experts on helping people decide, what to do car-wise. So, if you know anybody or if yourself are looking to get a new car, swing by roundaboutshow.com. That's our website. Get in touch with Ben, and we'll be happy to get you on the show and help you sort out your car buying problems. And Michelle, I'm sure you're able to lend quite a hand, being that you've worked with dealers and stuff for so many years.
Well, she's already helped out because she was willing to pose for this photo that I used on the post. And it's worth going to the website, roundaboutshow.com, just for that, because she really entices you in.
With that smoky gaze piercing through your soul.
Not only have I worked with dealers, but I've also worked a lot with the actual buyers themselves.
Oh, okay. So you're quite the people person then. I never knew.
Really? Should I send you my resume?
Sure. Also on our site.
Well, wait. Let me just say that, if you don't want to go to roundaboutshow.com, if you're lazy, that's okay. We don't mind lazy people.
We
you
just
can just
have
email
you
me directly. B. Sanders. B as in Ben, B. Sanders, at BlueSkyProductions.tv as in television. B. Sanders at BlueSkyProductions.tv.
Correct. B as in Ben, Sanders as in the Colonel, at BlueSkyProductions.tv.
Or you forgot to say, Facebook me.
Facebook me. That's right.
Or look for us on Friendaroo. Right, Ben?
You know, the thing is, I don't think we want to promote that. It just hasn't taken off, Craig.
Okay. Well, we were on Friendster, but we moved over to Friendaroo. Also on our website, we have the ROAB Emporium, short for Roundabout. You click on the link in the sidebar. The sidebar's on the right side of the website. You can check out our online store. We've got all kinds of great stuff. You can buy T-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, coffee cups, stickers. You name it, it's there. Well, really not everything, but there's a lot of great stuff you can buy, and we have new lower prices. Ben took a cue from Walmart. He chopped back those high prices we were charging to new lows, and you should definitely check it out. Pick up some pick up some Roundabout swag from the Roundabout Emporium. We would appreciate that. Support your starving podcasters. Look at me. I'm wasting away. So go buy a T-shirt, please. Please. Also, one more thing to promo here while we're on the roundabout.com site. We've set up a PodTrack survey. Basically, what that does is puts us in touch with potential advertisers. So if you look in the sidebar on the right there, just below the ROAB Emporium button, you can see there's a listener survey. It's a beige box. You just click on that. It takes you to the PodTrack site, and you can fill out a very, very brief survey. It'll ask you some general questions about, where you get the show, how you listen to Roundabout, stuff like that. And that'll help any potential advertisers that would want to advertise on our site. So we would very much appreciate if you went there and filled that out briefly, because you are all such loyal fans of Roundabout. Ben? Ben.
They're so loyal that I just put it on the chat that did everybody friend me on Frienderoo yet? And its chat went completely silent because I think they're all Googling Frienderoo.
That is not a real friend site. I'm sorry. Although it should be. It's a good idea.
I like Mud Mouncers. Catheter manufacturers are a good advertiser for your guys' show.
I agree. We talk more about catheters than we do cars, I think. But hey, who can blame us?
It's not a problem, is it?
It's a service. Helping people that are incontinent. But, all right. Back to the show. Back to our content here. Since we're doing things a little differently this, you know, for this episode, we've got so many people that are out absent. We figured we would skip the traditional blind spot story of the week, and we're going to trade that in, trade up, and do a Chicago Auto Show recap because we have a person online tonight that was at the Chicago Auto Show, physically there looking at all the hot new product that was unveiled. Isn't that right, Colin?
Yes, I was there.
In fact, you live near, what is it, McCormick Valley Ranch or something where they have it?
The McCormick Center?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I was thinking of a dressing.
Have you been to Chicago, Craig?
Once in seventh grade? Eighth grade. It was eighth grade.
Sort of hurts.
Sorry.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I was there, and I went last year, too, and just judging from last year, it was a little bit sadder than last year.
Really? Last year was carpocalypse, you know, for the industry. I'm surprised it was better last year. But
and I think what it is like, you know, they got these long, drawn-out product cycles, and they just basically canceled a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what other people are saying on Twitter is that they really, Chrysler and GM, and especially Nissan, are building up for the New York Auto Show, so they're not going to show anything here.
Damn you, New York, stealing Chicago's thunder.
But, you know, Ford brought out, you know, they had three things, and we're going to talk about the Edge, but they had the GT500, too.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But we'll go on to the, Edge.
Start off with the Edge, yeah. I mean, they did. That's not an all-new product, but they've pretty much, it's a pretty heavy update of the Edge. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, looking at it in person, how does it look in person?
It looks really good in person. Like I mean, a lot of people were still turned off at the show, but I really like this grill and I like this interpretation. You guys remember the Ford Interceptor concept?
It was that big boxy like Chrysler 300 type thing. Yeah,
I think this is the best interpretation of the front end so far, and I just really like it. It's a really good front end, basically, and. You know, you can see that they put a lot of that European look into it, too, in the lower intake.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, we got three new engines now. I mean, there was a, you know, there. I don't know if you guys have driven the Edge, but there were three huge problems with it. It had terrible braking, you know.
Awful interior. I mean, it was bad. I wouldn't go so far as awful. It was a bad interior.
Yeah, it was well put together. It was modular. It had tons of cut lines.
Bland.
Bland.
But anyway,
And then it was, you know, it was a gas hog too, you know, 4,000-pound gas hog. But anyway, they resolved all those issues, so you got a four cylinder in it now.
Yeah, the new EcoBoost, 2-liter EcoBoost. Yeah. No numbers on for horsepower or mileage though, right?
Yeah, they estimated. I talked to one of the product people there that 30 miles to the gallon on the highway.
Okay,
and
that's cool.
The V6 Durotech they upgraded. What is it? I don't know.
3.5, right? You can get the 2-liter EcoBoost, a 3.5 V6, and a 3.7 for the, Edge Sport?
Yeah, the Edge Sport, 305 horsepower.
That's
so you got
putting that in the
AKX. You actually have different powertrains now. I don't know. It might be a bit confusing, I think, to customers, all these different powertrains, especially since the
Well, I don't know about if it'll be confusing because the Sport will be on the top. That'll be the most expensive. The 3.5 will probably be the volume engine, and then the 2-liter will be like the Fuel Miser one.
But they say the EcoBoost is going to be more expensive than the 3.5.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I mean, they got one issue right there.
Okay.
It'll be more powerful, though.
All right.
So, anyway, I mean, and then we got a whole new interior, too.
Oh, that's what I want. How does that look? I mean,
it looks bad in pictures, to me at least. It looks sort of cheap, but when you're actually there, it's got that same sort of dash material that they got on the new Taurus. It's really nice and soft. And,
okay, it is soft. That was my big concern. It looked hard in the pictures, and it was.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But the, soft, like anything
a,
soft.
It's like seeing a picture of your of a fat uncle and then actually getting to hug your fat uncle.
And he smothers so you to death.
You think you're fat, your fat
I think
uncle
it's hideous.
Though?
You don't like it, Michelle? What don't you like about it?
I think it's hideous. I just I loved the idea when that grill first came out, but it's getting so clunky now that it's starting to look like a stuffed up nose.
That hurts.
Ouch.
I know. Sorry.
A lot of people in Oakville, Ontario are not.
But
happy
I didn't
with
see
you,
it in so. Person yet, Colin, so you do have that on me.
Yeah. So, all mean, right. Sticking with Ford, why don't you tell us a little about the GT500? What's the big news with that?
Oh, I didn't have that news. Up. 550 horsepower.
Is that all?
Yeah. They put the new I need to pull that up. I'm sorry. I didn't have that ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I can tell you then. It was a rhetorical right. question.
I'll tell you how it felt and everything like that, but yeah, you tell me.
Well, the big news was what? The aluminum engine block gets 10 extra horsepower for, like you said, 550. And then also they switched. It's the same 5.4-liter supercharged V8, but they switched it from an iron block to an aluminum block. Saved 102 pounds over the front of the car. That's a big savings right there. So that should help the handling pretty good, I would think, getting all that weight off the front.
Yeah, and that was like the first time that I had experienced the Camaro and the Mustang back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And I never realized just how much better the Mustang is. Just, I mean, in terms of execution,
mm-hmm.
it's better on the outside. There's a lot more attention to detail.
The Camaro looks huge compared to the Mustang, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because we had them back to back in the office. Remember that, Ben? We had them parked next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't right next to each other, the Camaro looks like 50% bigger than the Mustang. It is a little bigger when they're right next to each other, but it looks huge on its own, like a fat uncle.
What's all this against the fat people now?
They're breathing up all our air. But all
You're
right.
eating my food.
That's why I'm so emaciated. I'm afraid to get food because they'll bite my hands off or something.
Oh, that reminds me of the Ann Arbor. That's funny that they did it because, you know, Michigan's the fattest state. So.
Oh, are we? I thought it was like South Carolina or something.
Oh, it's Michigan.
Woo, woo, number one. All right, so some big news for Ford. Did Toyota have big news?
Yeah, well, to me at least, no one else seems to agree. But, you know, obviously they started out with their VP talking about all the recall issues, and then they went right
what
into
recall?
The Avalon.
Recall, what?
They're, by the way, they're doing, they're fixing 50,000 cars a day now. So
they
by
can't
my calculations.
That many. That's incredible.
But my calculations can take them 50 days to fix all their cars. So I don't know about that. Anyway, the Toyota Avalon came out.
I'm sorry. What about the Avalon?
Well, they gave it basically, you know, they did the same thing that Ford did. They gave it a new front and rear end and a whole new, you know, center dash and center console and instrument cluster. But
so a pretty thorough rework.
Yeah, and it's got better gas mileage. That's kind of the story of the Chicago Auto Show is incremental improvements in gas mileage. So now it's 2029.
Wow.
So, and that's the best selling. It's one of the best selling full sizers. So I think it's enough to keep it at the top of its game. I mean, think about what it competes against.
The Taurus.
Yeah.
The LaCrosse.
I didn't even think of that.
Did you say Oldsmobile?
No, I was thinking of Azera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boring. Other boring cars.
Oh, the Kia Amante.
Yeah, the Kia Monte.
All right. What else have we got here to talk about? Kia Ray?
Yeah, oh my God.
How does that look up close?
It actually looks really shoddily constructed. That was a surprising part about it. It's like they didn't even bother, you know, when they hand-built that concept, to even, like, wax it down or anything. It just seemed really rough. And
that's their new eco-friendly sandpaper finish. You don't need to wash it. It's like bedliner material.
They claim it's like built off of Kia Forte, but you know it's not. And it's supposedly it's a design interpretation of a car they're going to come out with, a dedicated hybrid car. down the line in the future. And it just looks like a giant jelly bean to me from this, you know, like the early 90s. There's nothing new about this vehicle. It's very derivative,
yeah,
to me at least. And I just don't like pie in the sky's concepts in general. I thought we were over with that in recession.
You know what it kind of looks like? It looks like they had a nicely styled car, but they carved it out of soap. And then they ran that block of soap under hot water, and it kind of just...
It's a bar of Dove.
Yes.
Somebody took a shower with it.
Or it's a suppository. That's what it looks like.
Goes down smoothly, folks.
Goes up smoothly, Ben.
Oh.
I've been using suppositories wrong the whole time.
Yes, they're not analgesic. It's analgesic, not analgesic. It's painkiller.
Oh, Mud Monster reminds me, the big thing they said on the Avalon is that it's got that brake override system, so there's not going to be any you know, sudden acceleration issues on that vehicle.
Yeah.
That's a key selling point, actually. I think they put it in the press
since
release.
The Avalon sells to older customers. What if they just made it only go to half throttle ever? So there's... What if that was their solution? You can't access full throttle. It's impossible. We engineered so the pedal doesn't go down far enough. But anyway, okay, moving along. Honda Odyssey. That was another big reveal.
Oh, God, yeah. I dubbed it on my blog, what was it?
Oddity?
No, I said, it's look at me, I'm a moving refrigerator. I mean, basically, it's like they got rid of all the design elements that were sort of nice on the Alaska Odyssey. And they put like that truck theme that Honda has. I mean, first off, I don't know what you guys think, but I think Honda's design team should just be fired. I know they're mainly Americans, but...
Yes. Well, the CRZ, awful. Well, not... No, the CRZ, CRZ is not awful. It has no passion to it. The Civic is awful. I think that car is hideous. Ugh.
Or the... I mean, the Accord
Michelle,
is
you agree
better with
me? Michelle?
That was my agreeing with
you. Okay. I didn't hear it. My bell tone is dead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You didn't hear my retch.
No. Dry heaving. But yeah, like, I didn't think the Odyssey looked that bad in pictures, though.
I mean, that was
it's
the only
that
one.
Thunderbolt there. Belt line.
Yeah, the Zag.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, it'll basically the belt line goes up and then it tapers down real dramatically right at the end, past the D pillar.
It's a different bar of soap that they add a little clear bit on top of.
Yeah, that was the thing I kept saying. It's like, why show this in white? That's all I kept thinking is like, this is just a pure appliance now. It's like,
is it because Audi always does like the all white exhibits?
Yeah, I think white's supposed to be the in color.
Well, Apple does white, so everybody thinks it's cool.
Well, everyone's afraid to paint things brown because.
Why is that, Michelle?
Well, because the thing became that if you weren't quite sure about the design, just paint it brown, and everybody would go like, "Ooh, that's a different color." Ooh. But then it became, "Oh, that looks poopy."
Interesting adjective choice. Ew, poopy.
Isn't that what other journalists say? Poopy.
No, I don't think I've ever said that until now. But hey, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? So, Colin, if you had to pick a star of the show, of the Chicago Auto Show, what would it be? Come on,
I still
time's
wasted. I said the Ford Edge. I've been saying it all day. I know Michelle doesn't agree with me, but it's just I like Ford, and every refresh they've done is really good, and I like that interpretation of the Interceptor concept.
Okay.
I could see myself buying one.
When the Hyundai's done?
Yeah. It's got the Edge. That's another funny thing is if you look at the back end of the new Edge, they didn't change anything except the headlight design, and basically it looks exactly like the Hyundai X and headlights now. So,
okay,
yeah,
all right.
I like Ford. I just have never been an Edge fan.
I like Ford.
I just think it's ugly.
What about the Flex, Michelle?
I love the Flex.
Flex is awesome.
I have a lot more quirk probably going on than Colin does in terms of what I like. So,
you have more what, Michelle? I'm sorry.
Quirk. I mean, if I could just line up cars that look like pregnant ants next to each other, I would have all the same kind of car, but all different brands. So, you know, a Crossfire, an RX-8, a Z3 Coupe, I would just line them all up on the same color.
So do you like the new Juke then?
I have the quirk thing going.
Well, cool. Well, speaking of quirk, Michelle, you found us an auto gadget for this week, did you not?
You know, who did find this auto gadget? I think it might have to be credited to Asian Martin.
I think it's Desert Dingo.
Hmm. Was it? Okay, that's my friend who's a class 11 Baja racer that has the bug.
The transmission exploded half a dozen times or something?
And his leg got broken when we were in Baja, yeah.
Baja 1000, huh?
The Baja. So since we have this ongoing catheter conversation.
You say that so not convincingly as the Baja, Craig. Shut the fuck up. You're a moron.
I'm going to clear the awkwardness with a musical sting.
Now that the awkwardness is clear, Michelle.
And this also, that okay.
You better play it again, Ben. It's creeping back.
Oh, for Christ.
How is it any less awkward?
So right. What do we have? They call it safety apparel on the
PCI. I say
PCI
it's comfort apparel.
Website. PCIraceradios.com.
It's interesting. A radio website is selling catheters.
Is that what we have here?
Is that what it is?
Craig, look what it says. It says it's a catheter, a cath kit, great for parties, hunting, boating, fishing. Oh,
it's great for raves
too.
When you pass out on the floor. Hey,
and podcasting. It says. Oh. So that'd be great for Colin and Eric.
Right.
Well, with Eric's enlarging prostate, he's going more frequently. So, all right, that's an auto gadget, all right, if I ever saw one.
You know the female version of this in Texas?
No.
It's those really big dresses that the women always wear in Texas. You know, they're like kind of like muumuus and knee-high pantyhose. I'm not kidding you. I had a woman tell me in Texas one time that was her party outfit because she could just drink and drink and drink.
What? That's horrible.
It's awful.
What?
Moving along. I think it's time for our next segment. Roll that music, Ben.
I think the 22-inch wheels shows that you have a lack of self-confidence. Why don't you pull into my garage and tell me how that makes you feel?
This is Psychology, a segment that is all about psychology and cars, presented by our in-house shrink and brain enthusiast, Michelle Naranjo. Joey, take it away. What have you got for us this week?
Well, I have to sort of start this by saying I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Well, you're not alone, neither did I.
I watched your tweets while the Super Bowl was going on. You were like having lunch with your daughter or something. And shopping at Borders for books about NASCAR and getting guys. And
it's true. I bought a really great book during Super Bowl.
Like half off. It was like $2 or something, right?
It was like $2. And it's NASCAR, how to win a NASCAR driver.
Hey! Did you guys know you can't spell NASCAR without scar? Think about it.
Is that a new
thanks for the colloquial derailing of the conversation.
Wow.
I'm trying to help you guys. Come
Wait,
on.
So I was the only one to watch the Super Bowl, and I don't even watch football. No one watched it?
I hate sports.
I TiVo'd it.
I hate sports.
Sports make me
Leo
cry
Laporte
inside.
Coined it upside down TiVo day because you TiVo the Super Bowl and then watch only the ads, and that's exactly what I did.
That's all I was doing.
I was actually editing our podcast as it was going on, and then I'd watch a commercial, and I'd catch up to the TiVo, and I couldn't fast forward anymore, so I'd pause it, edit a little more. So, yeah. Super cool.
Well, I guess I'll give a shout out to our friend Joel Fetter again because, you know, like Joel would say, I don't have to like football because I'm a car person. That's good enough. But
okay.
Oh, that's nice. We all don't like football. That's good.
Yeah.
So what
I think
article do you have here, Michelle? What's it about? advertising?
Well, the article is basically about it was a PR Newswire release about the ads during the Super Bowl and the Autometrics, you know, sort of results of which brands did the best during all of the Super Bowl ads from the automotive industry. Mm-hmm. And apparently Hyundai, that happy company that keeps seeming to win everything, seemed to secure the largest increase in sales prospects, and the Audi A3 showed the most sustained interest.
Hmm. Even though it had the Gestapo in it?
Yeah. Hmm. The Green Police.
Yeah. Okay. So what does this say about were the Hyundai ads and the Audi ads, were they so much better than everybody else's, or are people just interested in these brands? What do you think, Michelle? How can we explain this?
You know, I think that probably the Audi thing, the Green Police sustained interest, I would actually chalk up to the fact that they have that YouTube channel going on for the Green Police where mm-hmm. it's a series of videos and it's an ongoing thing. So I think that keeps people engaged. So I think that that would indicate sustained interest. The Sonata, I'm not really sure. From all of the ads, I actually kind of like the Kia one with the little stuffed animals better.
Was it just the sheer amount? Because it was like, oh, yeah. My God, there is so much Hyundai.
That's what I would thought. It was just, yeah. I mean, they had 7, right? They had 8.
So they basically beat it into your head, right? Hyundai, Hyundai, Hyundai.
I mean, how could you not remember it after watching all those ads?
Hmm. Well, you know, to be fair, the Hyundai Sonata is a damn good-looking car, you know?
They're saying, though, that that it went up 101%, that the demand for the car went up 101% after the ad ran during the Super Bowl. And then it's declined since then, but it's still 58% higher.
Hmm.
So did they – I mean, is that a game changer? Sorry the pun, but I mean, literally, is that a game changer that you know, being able to just go out there, do a Super Bowl ad with a great product actually will change people's minds?
Well, having product always helps.
Yeah, they hit all those facts too. You know, they remind people that it's made in America, designed by Americans, better paint job or whatever than a Mercedes, you know.
Has a hot dog rotisserie in the glove box or something. Right? I don't know. I didn't see all of the ads, but it's got to have some good, cool features like that. Mini bar in the back seat. I don't know.
Did you guys know that was the most watched show in the history of television? They just found that out on Wednesday. It beat MASH from 1983. Got 106 million viewers.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
So what else can we learn from these numbers in this press release, Michelle? Did some brands do poorly during the Super Bowl?
You know, I think that Lexus made like a little effort. They didn't even introduce a new ad. They just put up an ad that they've been running for a while.
They didn't even amend it to say our cars don't accelerate out of control. That's only Toyota. We have nothing to do with Toyota.
I think the most interesting one probably is the Dodge Charger, though, because it only saw a 3% gain in interest. I don't know why they even tried with the Dodge Charger, because I'm not sure where there's been any energy around the Charger lately that they would need to spend that kind of money to buy that ad space. And certainly with an increase of only 3%, mm-hmm. they probably could have, you know, waited till the post-Olympics to some of the new shows that are coming on that, you know, are startup little shows that they could have probably spread their ad budget across and gotten more interest in the Charger than they could spending that amount of money during the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
But
their ad was pretty good, wasn't it? It really took a stance. And
well, I want your thoughts on this ad, Michelle, as a woman. So, I mean, to describe this ad, it's got these men who are
emasculated.
Yeah, they're staring into the camera. They're just devoid of all thought, and you've got Michael C. Hall from Dexter doing a voiceover saying that, I will carry your purse, I will do this, I will do that, I will be subjugated to a woman, blah, 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 but the Charger is mine. So how do you feel as a woman? I mean, the attitude behind this ad.
I think they're actually missing out on a huge segment of women that do like the Charger. I mean, there's a huge segment of women that like the Camaro too, right? And if they did that with Camaro, there'd be a much bigger backlash. Unfortunately, the Charger has like a much smaller segment of people that are actually even. Yeah, it's an older car.
Trying to revive it, keep it going until the new one comes out. But anyway,
you know, maybe because it's an I'm going to go out on a limb here. Maybe because it's an older car and it is really. Honestly, there's a lot of Chargers on used lots. It's appealing to a demographic that the women aren't necessarily paying attention to those ads because they're buying their own cars and they don't care what their guys are doing. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, because I heard some reaction that, you know, some people found it offensive. But polarized, I mean, from both sides, I heard
offensive.
Men found it offensive. They thought it was emasculating, and
but true,
women thought
your
it was
soul.
Chauvinistic because it's like this pent up anger, passive aggressiveness, you know, against women.
Just because you can't meet your wife anymore and throw her down the stairs, whatever. I mean, yes, marriage steals your soul. That's why
I guess, you know, in the sense that there is that demographic of men who have like have worked hard and they want that muscle car and they want to be able to express themselves through their car. They don't pick Chargers.
Yeah.
They're going to go for something else.
If nothing else, I commend Chrysler for, you know, at least taking a strong stance, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
What's that?
Sorry. Okay, you made me lose my train of thought. No, I thought we're okay a lot with that ad. I kept building it up that I was pretty confident they were going to show the new Dodge Charger. I mean, it's coming out, 2011. Mm-hmm. And
well, you know Sergio Marchione. He says, we do not show products until we're ready.
But
clearly,
I mean,
he's not ready.
It's going on sale in 4 months. So I just figured, you know, what's the point of showing this car some more? It's going to be on dealer lots in 4 months.
Well, they want to clear out the 2010s.
I guess.
Would it have made more sense to have this ad for the Challenger?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, too.
Fitting.
I guess it doesn't sell
I think
as
so,
well.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Dodge's new website?
No. Dodge, they have a website?
Do they have that golf thing in the upper right-hand corner still? Is there golf link?
No, they make it look real. It's pretty nice looking aesthetically, and they have a whole mini site to the Charger about living the life of Dodge Charger. Uh-huh. So
cool.
Well, want to try that.
Before we drag this podcast out to 2 hours, let's let's move on to our next segment. It's time for another installment of Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, I hope you've got your supercomputer ready to go because we need some vehicle picks this week.
I do.
All right, fire her up.
Let me see here. It's gas-powered, so I've got to pull the string a couple times here. Here we go. Oh, a winner.
Oh, what do we got? What do we got?
Oh, and it's telling me that this week's picks are all Dodge-themed. I guess in honor of the ad.
Hey, isn't that convenient?
I don't know, yeah. The first one it spit out here was a 2002... Silver Dodge Stratus. Very specific. Gave me a color.
Hey,
what do you know?
Colin, what? Who drives the 2002 Dodge Stratus?
Somebody who's recently unemployed. I see a civil servant worker, probably a security guard.
I see a mailman for some reason.
40 in their 40s and most likely female. 60% female.
Hmm. Okay, what about you, Michelle?
I actually see the 2002 Stratus, the daughter of an older set of parents, who has recently graduated from college, and she was given the car as, you know, a sort of halfway through college.
Mm-hmm. Because her Metro blew up or something.
And she's... No, they probably didn't let her have a car before this.
Oh, they're those kind of parents.
Yeah, and that she's actually now starting to either look at graduate school, which she would love to do, but gosh darn it, she's going to have to keep driving that darn car. So maybe she should just go ahead and take that job as a social worker where she can afford a car payment.
Gosh, who do I see driving a 2002 Stratus? I see a mid-30s woman, maybe a single mother with one or two small children, not college educated, working at Hardee's or McDonald's or something, rushing her kids to daycare, and you know, the car, the Stratus, is kind of dented along the passenger side. It'll have steel wheels. It'll be the four-cylinder model, and it will have one burned out taillight on the back. That's what I imagine.
Computer says you're exactly right. So,
hey.
So there you go.
Who knew? So what's our next vehicle, Ben?
Aha.
Uh-oh.
Another goodie. 1996 Dodge Neon.
Michelle, why don't you start us off with the 96 Neon?
Oh, gosh.
Or if Colin's got, if Colin has something in his mind already, he can fire off straight away.
I'm kind of going to go off that guy on the, you know, burned it out. So let's see. Gangly, pasty looking. I think that's
podcast host, right?
No, this guy's a goatee.
Okay, I can't grow a goatee, so.
I think he might have a do-rag and a hat on, a black
D-hat, Detroit hat or something.
Craig, obviously you shouldn't announce you can't grow hair. It's kind of unattractive.
Sorry, Michelle. Sorry to disappoint you.
Again. Is there anything I can do? Anything at all?
Oh, God. So who drives this Neon, Michelle, in your opinion? Somebody.
What was your car before your Focus?
Not a Neon.
Uh-oh.
I think that says enough right there. And who do I think drives a Neon? I envision a slutty high school girl driving this as her first car. Her parents helped her buy it from some crappy used car dealership down in the city, and she uses it to go to work, wherever it is she works, and she uses it to go to house parties on the weekend. Raves, probably.
Raves, even.
Raves, yes.
The shame.
Where she drinks heavily and mixes prescriptions.
That all sounds like an after-school special.
It does, yeah.
I know. 100 years ago, she would have been in the theater.
Sorry, is that it for our... guess not.
Ah, the third and best. What are you doing, Craig?
Sorry.
Wake up.
All right, what's our third one?
It's given me the 1972 Dodge Demon.
What the hell is a Dodge Demon? Somebody else is going to have to go first until I can see this one. Michelle, you're the most vintage of us among us.
Oh.
Way to win friends and influence people, Craig.
Well, I'm not a bullshitter, Ben. Want me to candy coat that?
No, it's okay. We know who you are. You know, I actually could see the 72 Dodge Demon being driven by an entire band that all shares an apartment. But, you know, not it wouldn't be fixed up, of course. It would be matte black a lot of Bondo probably. Yeah, they'd probably like drive that around to get from band gig to band gig and make their one friend with the ranger with the, you know, different cab from the bed, drive their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. I've never thought of it that way, Michelle.
Colin, you're up, I guess.
I don't. Somebody from who's in their 50s, female, bigger, long blonde hair, curly. That's it.
You've met my landlord.
I see a nurse gown too. So. She's a
nurse. Would it be this gorgeous pink one?
Where is it? I don't
know. On the,
yes.
On the,
oh, God, that's something there, Ben. It's almost been tied.
What's her name? You think, Yvette. Charisse?
Marlene.
That's Marlene.
God, and who do
she
I think?
She wanted a duster, but she settled for the demon.
What was the name of the car again, Ben?
Oh, God. We're done here.
I was going to say a middle-aged man, midlife crisis, bought a muscle car from his youth.
Fair
He's
enough.
Portly. He worked on assembly line all his life in the Motor City here somewhere. And he bought his dream car from his youth. So he could go
it's
on
time
the dream
for Craig
cruise.
To travel.
Hey, Michelle.
Mm.
I heard you have a tip of the week for us tonight.
I do. I thought in honor of Valentine's Day, we could do a little tip around buying cars.
That ties in with our theme, doesn't it?
And Valentine's, exactly.
That was the tip of the week jingle.
It's a pretty weak jingle, Ben.
We
All right, what's our
theme?
Tip this week, Michelle?
The tip is that you have to be really careful in co-signing for cars. There's reasons to co-sign for cars, and there's reasons to not co-sign for cars. And dealerships will try to get you to co-sign for cars if they think they're going to get a better rate from their own lenders, and they're reselling you their loans.
Okay.
Because the co-signer might have a better credit score than you.
Okay.
But the problem with that is that it won't necessarily go under your credit and improve your credit, as they will tell you.
Lies.
Lies, the lies.
Lies. Okay.
It does mean the dealership will make more points on the loan because of the better credit score, and therefore make more money over the life of the loan of your car. And the problem is, if something goes awry with you and your Valentine, then the person can have complete control over your credit if
well,
you've co-signed
awful.
For them. The times when you want to co-sign, though, on the other hand,
yes.
are in the cases when you are in a stable Valentine relationship, which I think they call a marriage these days, but they're not so common. when they
really, Michelle,
when they don't work out, if only one of the married Valentines is on the
it's
loan,
like you're explaining this to kindergartners or something.
I know, but it's so it's
the
so
Valentines
easy.
Are not friendly anymore.
it's so
like when
funny,
they're no longer speaking to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one Valentine has to go get her stuff from the other Valentine's house. Sorry.
It's true, though. It's so easy sometimes, though, for people to get in a situation where they're like, oh, yeah, honey, buy me the car. Or, yeah, honey, I'll co-sign for you. And they don't even realize, like, the long-term, you know, consequences of what it could mean. The times when you would want someone to co-sign with you is when you actually have, like, community property. And in that case, then it makes it a lot easier in separating stuff. And
community chest.
Right. And then if, say, she gets awarded the house and you get awarded the car, then she's not going to have to keep making the payments on your car if you're the one with the car and she's living in the house with the kids kind of thing. So
be careful is basically what you're saying.
I would
unless
say
you're unless you have a stable Valentine.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of any car payments, so. You
know. No, definitely not. But with that, Michelle, thank you for a tip of the week. This is a segment that we are reviving, and we're probably going to do every week.
And
hence
don't
the name,
say
tip of the
we
week.
Never taught you nothing.
I done told you.
You done
I done told you. I taught you.
Now put your hands in the air like pistols, Michelle, and shoot them, please.
Pew, pew.
Oh, that was good, Michelle.
Michelle has laser guns.
All right, I'm going to have to cut you guys off because we've gone for almost an hour and a half here. But Colin Bird from Chicago, thank you for joining us. Thank you for... Any relation to Larry Bird or
No, that's
Admiral...
actually... That's what? B-Y-R-D. He's Irish. My dad's English. B-I-R-D.
So what about Admiral Richard Bird?
That's possible.
All right. Fair enough. So you and people can find you on Twitter. What is it? Auto yeah. underscore buzzer? Buzzard?
Yeah, auto underscore bird, B-I-R-D, and and my blog, autobirdblog.com.
Autobirdblog.com. Great. And, of course, Michelle Naranjo, our regular lady on the program from Long Beach, California, no less, where it is 70 degrees right now, and it's about 30 degrees here in Detroit. That's not fair. But
I know.
You can find Michelle's awesome. Michelle's content on MissMotormouth.com. She's also on Twitter, I heard, right?
Sometimes.
Well, I have it on good authority that you're on there most of the day, Michelle.
At night.
All right. So check out MissMotormouth.com. That's Michelle's site. Have you sorted out your pirate attack yet?
Yes, the site is safe, Greg.
I don't want to risk getting any viruses there. That's all I'm saying. Go to MissMotormouth.com. You will not get a virus, I promise you. She has lots of great content there. And, of course, Ben Sanders, I'd like to thank you for putting all of this, our live webcast, together and for doing the edited podcast. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Thank you for spending half your weekend editing the podcast, because that's a big deal, because that's what gets the show out, and that rests squarely on your shoulders. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I said it earlier, but you were still talking. So
thank you, Ben.
Oh, yes, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Ben. So anyway, a couple things before we go. We're going to wrap things up here. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week. And again, I just want to reiterate, you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can visit the Roundabout Emporium. We recently slashed our prices on all kinds of great gear, so pick yourself up. Or your lady friend, your Valentine, pick her up a lovely T-shirt or a Roundabout mug or sticker, something like that. We've got all kinds of good stuff on there. And new low prices, because we are rolling back prices. Also, if you're looking to get a new or used car, or you know somebody that's looking to get a new ride, we want to help you out. We want to give you some car buying advice. So if you go on our website, again, that's roundaboutshow.com. We've got a post right there at the top. It's unsolicited car advice, courtesy of Roundabout. Basically, get in touch with Ben Sanders, our producer here. He will take your name and get you on Skype, and we'd like to talk you through getting a new car. Isn't that right, Ben?
That's right, Craig. In fact, we won't leave you empty-handed. We'll even send you away with a genuine photograph of your ideal car signed by the Roundabout cast.
Signed?
Yeah. That's a collectible, Craig. Now, I don't want to see these things popping up on eBay.
Well, they're going to go for six figures.
You know, that's part of the agreement.
They're going to be on, what's that fancy auction? Barrett Jackson or what's the other one? Christie's?
Craigslist?
Well, yeah. Craigslist, probably. No, probably the paper shredder or the garbage, but... Yes, you get a free autographed photo of the car.
So won't that be fun?
That would be better than fun, Ben. That would be awesome. But anyway, what else is on my
to-do? I want to promote one more thing.
Promo away,
Ben. This will be our last thing that we'll promote. And that is that you can now get our show via Stitcher. If you don't know what Stitcher is, you know, if you have an iPhone, it's real easy to get our show, obviously. If you got an iPod, real easy. But Stitcher makes it easy for people like Michelle who have Blackberries.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a tasteless joke there. Whew.
Nice.
So there's a Stitcher link on our website on the right side where you would normally see iTunes and RSS and all the rest. Click on that, and it'll give you a link to activate Stitcher on your mobile device, and you can always listen to the latest episode of Roundabout on your BlackBerry or whatever else wonderful phone, Palm Pre, Google Android.
And that streams live from the cyber web cloud, doesn't it? The information superhighway comes in.
Is it the highway now? I thought it was railway. But
well,
yeah,
it changes
that thing,
with the time.
Whatever that tubes. Is. The tubes. You load the tubes up. Sound comes out. It's real good.
Okay.
So that's another way to get our show.
Well,
check
you know,
us out on Stitcher.
You know, other ways to get the show, Ben, are, of course, iTunes and the Zune Marketplace. Those are two really good places to get it because then you will never miss an episode if you subscribe. Those will be automatically downloaded and installed right on your mobile device. Also, we are on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Look for us there. We tweet all the time, lots of great stuff. We are also on Facebook. And Michelle, you have been really amping up our presence there on the F-book.
Facebook it's me.
Friend of roomies.
Yeah, it's got a new URL. We have a permanent vanity URL. It's awesome.
We're so vain.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/roundaboutshow, right?
Is it really that easy, Ben?
It really is.
Let me put that into my browser. Facebook.com/ROUND.
You're like the skeptical co-host on an infomercial. Really, Ben? Seriously.
Oh, my God, that roast chicken is delicious.
How much would you pay for that vanity URL, Craig?
I'd pay at least $75,000 for that URL.
You know what? You're not going to pay $75,000. You're not even going to pay
$5.
Right.
Because it's free. That's the only way we can afford it. Unless you buy t-shirts on the Roundabout store. Please?
Please? Will that work if we say please?
If we say
we're polite?
If we just ask nicely, would you just buy something? But all right, guys. Great job as usual. And with that, I think we can cut this show off. But thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Every Autobird derivative is taken. They always want $2,000. I'm like, you're never going to sell it then. I mean, who else wants it? There's a
sue him
somebody
for
else.
Cyber squatting.
There's somebody else who competes for me. It's the Autobird turd removal kit. And it's...
That was the first time anybody said turd on our show.
Turdaroo. That's a good site. Wonder if that's taken yet. Turdaroo.com.
Turdaroo. That doesn't make sense, though, Ben. Like friendaroo. It's friends and kangaroo.
This is a socialist site revolving
National
around
socialist workers site.
Gorskin just called it. We've gone from Cath Chat to Scat Chat.
There we go. It's a milestone.